You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 23rd of April 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Yes, once again, it's the end of another week, and it is also St. George's Day today, so happy St. George's Day to all our English listeners out there. And you know what that means, since it's the end of the week and the weekend is almost here, that means we have Grandpa Dan with us today. Grandpa, good day, sir. Happy St. George's Day to you. How are you doing?
Oh, well, now I've got something else to celebrate. I've got St. George's Day. And once again, relishing in I Called It. We're going to have an I Called It moment today with today's story.
We certainly are. This is something we were talking about a while back. We made this prediction, but it has now been confirmed. Officer Brian Sicknick of the U.S. Capitol Police died after suffering two strokes, but there was no evidence of internal or external injuries from the January the 6th unrest, the Washington, D.C. Medical Examiner has finally revealed. Now, at the time, we said, well, this is very strange. Why would somebody be attacking a police officer? Why was there just this one police officer that died? Nobody could actually tell us how it happened. There was no filming of it. And I can recall seeing reports that said that he had actually left the protest and he died sometime after. But you weren't seeing that in the mainstream news articles. In actual fact, it was actually used at the impeachment hearings against Donald Trump, as we will hear later on. So what it really boils down to is the only people that died there at this protest were Republicans. They were Donald Trump supporters, and they were desperate to make it into a deadly protest and claim that it was somebody on the other side that was injured. So they claimed that it was this Officer Brian Sicknick, and now the truth has come out, and of course the truth is not being talked about in the mainstream media. We're getting this news report from Russia Today. Grandpa, what do you make of this staggering news here? That's unexpected news that we have.
Well, one of the things about getting older is if you would have told me 30 years ago, you know, back during the Cold War and whatnot, you know, that, you know, come 2021, current year, our most reliable source for factual news would come from Russian media, I would have said you were crazy. But here we are, and that's the way it is. This is an actual, like I say, it's one of those 100% I called it moment. I don't claim to be right all of the time, but you know, when I do get it right, I just have to kind of pat myself on the back a little bit. I can't help it. I'm going to pat myself on. When this was all going down and they were so hard, going so hard on this narrative, I was calling bullshit then. In fact, I think when I did it on one of our Daily Nationalist shows we did, Sven, but because, yeah, they had this protest. This guy went back, even at the time, they said this was the narrative. He went to the protest. He tried to stop the violent insurrection. He was assaulted with a fire extinguisher. Then he miraculously went back to the police station, collapsed, and died. And they said he was murdered by the protesters. And I was calling bullshit on this then. I'm like, how does that make any sense? There was never any evidence presented. I think I saw a few media clips where there was like a grainy cell phone video of somebody in a crowd throwing a fire extinguisher, and they claimed this was the moment. The media was claiming this was the moment that Brian Sicknick was smashed in the head with a fire extinguisher and murdered, although he was healthy enough to just simply go back to the police station to die. didn't want to die right there. They laid this guy in state, which is usually, you know, something for, you know, dignitaries, former presidents, things such as that. They'll lay them in state in the Capitol Rotunda. And of course, what added to the bizarre nature of this whole thing is this was in the middle of, and continues to be in the middle of, the whole anti-police BLM thing. All police are going around. We had the this constant year or so of narrative that the police are going around murdering black people for the color of their skin. But then all of a sudden, the media switches it and turns it into heroic police officer murdered by violent Trump supporters. And just as I predicted, now we finally, months later, we get the report. And yeah, he died of he had massive strokes, he had blood clots. He was unhealthy and basically died of natural causes.
The only murder was the murder of Ashley Babbitt. And the police officer that shot Ashley Babbitt and killed her in cold blood, an unarmed protester, the police officer that did that, no charges whatsoever. So the deadly riot was just deadly for the Republicans. Sicknick, 42, died after suffering two strokes at the base of the brainstem caused by a clot in an artery. Medical examiner Francisco J. Diaz said on Monday, the autopsy found no evidence of internal or external injuries or an allergic reaction to chemical irritants, Diaz added. So where did this come from? Where did the witnesses come from that said that he was killed? I can't locate any. All I can recall is the mainstream media that were just saying that this police officer died and he died because he was killed by the protesters. And yet when you look at the videos, the police were just allowing the protesters in. A lot of them thought that this was just official. They were, the door was open. They were being shown the way in. They walked in within the rope barriers. They didn't go across from the rope barriers. And a lot of them just thought that this was allowed. You were allowed to go in there. It's not like anybody broke in or anything like that. So why would people be attacking the police in the first place? I'd be very interested to know if there were any other police officers that were actually injured in any way. I mean, it did look a little bit unruly. It did look like there was a little bit of littering that went on. Well, I think a couple of the offices may have been broken into and some of the paperwork may have been thrown around, but there was no actual physical damage to the building, and I don't think there was any physical damage to the police. And this police officer was put forward as having been murdered, and yet the medical report shows that didn't happen. And why wasn't the medical report done straight away? Why has it taken 3 months, 4 months for this medical report to actually come out? And the reason for that is because they wanted to sow this narrative that the protesters had murdered a police officer. It's the same as the narrative that claimed that the protesters also laid a bomb in Washington, D.C. And we haven't heard much about that since then either. But somewhere outside the actual Capitol itself, apparently somebody laid a pipe bomb. And they were talking about this at the time. They were saying that protesters had laid a pipe bomb and they'd killed a police officer, so they were quite clearly terrorists. So now we find out that the police officer wasn't murdered. And I'm just wondering when we're going to find out that this pipe bomb just turned out to be a piece of pipe, or whether they're just going to quietly forget about it. What do you make of the autopsy report here, Grandpa?
Well, we're left with the conclusion here that you were talking about, where did this come from? There were no witnesses. And you're right. You're exactly right. So essentially, we're left with the only, by process of elimination, we're left with the fact that the media just made this shit up. And we've got to really, and of course, not to be Captain Obvious here, but people really got to get to the point where they don't believe anything that the media says, because the media, this literally came from the media, just made it up whole cloth and sold it. And it's like when people read a fabulous, you have this outlandish headline in the media, and if you get down to the final paragraph of the story, they actually begrudgingly will tell you what happened. But they know that most people will just look at the outlandish headline. This is sort of the same thing. They pushed this narrative all for basically a couple of months, January and February. Well, yeah, now it comes out that it was all bullshit, but how many people are going to pay any attention to that? Nobody, because the media is not going to promote their own lie. They're not going to be out there admitting publicly their own lies. It might get mentioned in passing, but that's it, because the narrative has already got set in people's heads. The guy died of natural causes. I was sitting here, we were going through this, and I was reminded of, once again, of how this echoes with Charlottesville, because if you'll remember that during Charlottesville, there was a police helicopter crashed, and I think there were two sheriff's deputies in the helicopter, and they died in the helicopter crash, and it just died because of poor maintenance, or just crashed, rather, because of poor maintenance. But they, too, were lumped in with murder victims from the evil Charlottesville riots from the right wing. They're making it up whole cloth now, and everybody has to really accept that to the point where you don't believe anything that the media says.
Yeah, they did add that to that and say that three people died due to the riot when it was completely unrelated. The helicopter just fell out of the sky. Well, Monday's revelation undermines the official narrative about the January 6th insurrection, as it was labelled by the Democrats and the corporate media, in which hundreds of supporters of President Donald Trump walked into the Capitol grounds during a joint session of Congress meeting to certify Joe Biden's 2020 electoral victory. And of course, I've pointed this out so many times, it cannot have been an insurrection because the protesters were supporting the government of the time. They were supporting their president. Donald Trump was the president right the way up until January the 7th. So if you have supporters of the president that are in the Capitol, it's not an insurrection. The insurrection was being carried out by Biden's crew and by the corporate media that were portraying the supporters of the legitimate government as insurrectionists and portraying them as terrorists. The reason why they went into the Congress meeting was to show how many people there were that supported Donald Trump, and also to say, look, will you please investigate the allegations of electoral fraud? We've been saying, please investigate these allegations. Nobody has investigated them. So what do you do when the government refuses to do what the people wish? Well, you have to protest and you have to have some form of direct action to draw their attention to your grievance, which is what these protesters were doing. It's pretty similar to Occupy Wall Street. It was just occupy the Capitol. And to call it an insurrection, I mean, really, the press, the corporate media, as they refer to them here, they should be held to account for this because it cannot have been an insurrection. They were the actual lawful supporters of the lawful government. And I'm surprised that Donald Trump didn't actually point that out when he was accused of insurrection. What would you make of what they say here, Grandpa, where they're just sort of describing what went on during that day?
It's funny because we hear these outlandish over-the-top terms like insurrection, violent riot, violent mob of white supremacist Trump supporters, and all of this nonsense. But you pointed out earlier, they opened the doors. We've seen the videos. They opened the door, let people in. They show this footage of like what these few people standing there bashing a window with a chair or some shit, you know, for some reason. I don't know why they would be doing that except for the photo op, because they opened the doors and let them go in there. But here's the thing that blows this whole insurrection and violent mob, violent rioters narrative out the window is to ask the question, how did it end? Well, it ended when basically they showed up and told them, hey, y'all got to get out of here now. This is over. And everyone just voluntarily left. There was no firing of tear gas and pepper spray. There were no rubber bullets being used. The police didn't have to run through these people and start bashing skulls in with batons to get them to leave. They finally, more cops showed up and they told all these people, look, y'all need to leave now. And I remember watching it on TV and the media was waiting with bated breath because they wanted some more good footage to show of these violent white supremacist Trump supporters. And here they all were just filing out, quietly leaving. They just left. The cops are standing around, you know, and these people just voluntarily left. Now, we know that basically these places like Portland, for instance, and such are still essentially occupied by a violent leftist mob. And we see plenty of video footage and photos of police trying to defend public buildings with tear gas, rubber bullets, and this violence in the street. There was none of that. They showed up and told these people, okay, look, y'all came in here, you walked around and took your selfies. Now you got to go. And they obediently left. And yet we're told that this is a violent insurrection. It's a bald-faced lie, and it's a bald-faced lie to anybody who cares to look at it with any sort of critical thinking.
When I think about it, it was when Donald Trump actually asked the protesters to leave, and that speech where he asked them to leave was censored on YouTube, and it wasn't shown on any of the mainstream TV networks, and instead we had Biden, who was not the president, saying, I call upon the president to get the insurrectionists out of the Capitol and all the rest of it, when Donald Trump had actually done that and the protesters had actually left by the time that Biden made his speech. Well, we have some details here about where this story actually came from in the first place. Capitol Police initially said that Sicknick had succumbed to his injuries on January the 7th. Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen said on January the 8th that Sicknick died of the injuries he suffered defending the U.S. Capitol. Sicknick's cremated remains were honored in the Capitol Rotunda before he was laid to rest at Arlington National Cemetery in early February. So the story actually came out from the police. The police are implicated in this by saying that he had succumbed to injuries. What those injuries are, we don't know, because the report tells us that there were no injuries. There weren't even any chemical burns or chemical irritants or anything like that. So that there weren't actually any injuries at all. And then we have the acting attorney general, Jeffrey Rosen, telling us that these injuries, these mythical injuries that he had, he got them while he was defending the U.S. Capitol. So we can't just blame the mainstream media for this. It does look as if this came down from the very top. They wanted to sow this narrative. They wanted to add this lie to what was actually being told here. Do you know much about this acting attorney general Jeffrey Rosen or the Capitol Police, Grandpa?
Well, here's the thing. They're working hand in hand. The police are the government. I mean, that's the enforcement arm of the government. The only reason the government dictates mean anything is because they have the police. I mean, the government passes a law and you think, well, this law is total bullshit, but you wind up following the law anyway, because there's always the threat that if you do not, they will send armed police officers to arrest you, kill you, beat you up, or whatever the case may be, whatever measures they need to take to enforce that law. This is the enforcement arm of the government. And what we have clearly shown here is the media colluding with all branches of the government, from the Capitol Police to Attorney General, Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen, to promote this false narrative, this false lie. The media's job, if you have an actual media, is to be critical. That is, if you have a free press that actually is doing the very critical role, there is a reason you should have a free press in countries, is to have this critical role of questioning these narratives and looking into it to see it is true. But we don't have that anymore. The media just simply is handed these releases, handed these statements by the government, handed these statements by the police. The same media ignores it when the police say, well, look, this episode of this officer shooting this black guy, you know, it was clearly, for instance, this latest thing we had with this incompetent woman cop drew her taser instead of a gun and shot this guy, you know, and they show the body cam video and the media is essentially going along with the narrative that, no, it wasn't an accident, that she somehow intentionally killed him because she didn't like his skin color. So the media works hand in hand to create the narrative that they want to put out. And in this case here, you had the media that didn't question any of this. They went right along and fed this narrative that was also put out by the Capitol Police and put out at the very top of the supposed quote unquote justice system of the United States government. And we know now, looking at this story, that it was all, every bit of it was a bald-faced lie. I said earlier, you can't believe anything the media says. And now we know we can't believe anything the government says.
You know, really, you have to feel sorry for the police, the way they're always being sold out by their superiors. Just like that time that you were just talking about there, Grandpa, where she drew the taser instead of the gun and the police aren't standing up for her. It was a mistake. We've got this time that's just happened now. A police officer shot somebody who had a knife and was trying to stab somebody else. And obviously with the Chauvin trial. So the police superiors never actually stand up for the police themselves, and the police superiors are working hand in hand with the media to create these false stories in the first place. Media reports citing unnamed sources claimed for months that he had been struck with a fire extinguisher, but no evidence was ever provided or found. Two men were even charged last month for allegedly assaulting him with bear spray. Imagine that. Two men have actually been charged with the assault, and yet there is no evidence of any assault. There is no evidence of any bear spray, whatever that is. Do you know what bear spray is, Grandpa?
Well, yeah, it's like an intense form of pepper spray, or what we used to call back in the day mace, you know, and it's a real strong form of that. And the idea is you carry it's marketed that if you're hiking around in the mountains where there's bears and a bear starts to attack you, you spray them with this stuff and the bear will run off, supposedly, and not just simply get pissed off and tear you apart. I don't know how well it actually works. I think the dead giveaway here is anytime you see a story in the media that quotes unnamed sources, you can pretty much assume that they're making it up, because how do you verify it whenever they say, oh, an anonymous source inside the government tells us? Well, how do you know these sources even exist? Because there's no way to check. So they could just be making it up whole cloth. And here we see in this story that that's what they actually did. And it does seem absurd that they're charging these two guys for assaulting this officer with bear spray. And now we have the autopsy report that says that there was no evidence that he was even in contact with any chemical irritants. But who cares? I mean, they just convicted the Derek Chauvin guy because George Floyd died of a drug overdose. So, I mean, does it even matter anymore?
They don't appear to need any evidence to get these convictions, do they? Sicknick's death was even cited in the impeachment claims against Trump by congressional Democrats who sought to disqualify the 45th president from federal office in the future by claiming he incited insurrection against the government that resulted in the officer's death. And that's incredible that they could actually get that written into the impeachment proceedings when they take down the record of it, that Donald Trump was inciting insurrection. He can't have been inciting insurrection. And the fact that they talked about this, they mentioned this in this impeachment, that it was his death that was laid at Donald Trump's feet. They were saying Donald Trump was responsible for this Officer Sicknick being murdered. And it just didn't happen. While the media reports spoke of a deadly insurrection that killed five, counting Sicknick in that, the only person in the Capitol that was actually killed was the pro-Trump protester Ashley Babbitt, who was fatally shot by a Capitol Police officer. The officer has not been named and will not face charges, authorities announced last week. Three more pro-Trump demonstrators also died that day, but their cause of death was either natural or accidental. Now we don't know exactly what happened there. I mean, it may have been people that fell off from the outside of the building. It may have just been because there were about a million people there, by all accounts. There were masses and masses of people that were actually there at the Capitol. So some of them may have had heart attacks or something like that. But the fact of the matter is, four people died. They were all Republican supporters. There have been no investigations into that. We have had a false investigation around a false killing of a supposed police officer. And that has even been put into the record, this impeachment record, which is obviously going to be far more important than just the record that is recorded at a trial of the ongoing proceedings at the trial. This was an impeachment, and it's written into that the fact there was an insurrection and the fact that this officer was murdered. Why isn't there a major news story explaining that all of that was false? It's gone down in the historical record that Trump incited an insurrection, and the result of this insurrection was that a police officer was killed. And it's completely false. The historical record has been completely falsified by this. It's a very important news story that we're talking about today, I think, Grandpa. What do you make of these reports here?
Well, let's just say it again. Ashley Babbitt was gunned down in cold blood. She was unarmed. The same media that made all of this up about this cop dying from being attacked by violent insurrectionists made up, though she basically tried to create this narrative that she was part of this very dangerous armed group. She wasn't armed. She was completely unarmed. She was gunned down in cold blood. And we're not even going to know the cop's name. We're not going to see any body cam footage. There's not going to be any investigation. This is it. We're just told, well, too bad for her. Meanwhile, we're agonizing over this latest incident where you have that you brought up earlier, Sven, that you have this police body cam video and this black woman wielding a knife is fixing to stab another black girl in the guts, which I'm going to go out on a limb and say that could be deadly. And he shoots her. And we're really seeing this hesitation. We don't know, you know, in the narrative, whether to go ahead and go full in. This is another murder of an innocent black person by evil white racist cops or not. They haven't really made a decision on where to go with that. But the fact that it's like up in the air, we're trying to decide that. Meanwhile, this woman, there's no doubt about it, she was gunned down in cold blood. I kind of was sitting here reminded of Ruby Ridge, where the guy's wife was gunned down by the FBI sniper while she stood out on the porch holding her baby, killed in cold blood. He was never put up on any charges. There was never anything done. Never. He wasn't even fired for it. So in a lot of ways, this is just a continuation of things that have happened in the past. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. It's just now it's just really, really being ratcheted up.
I saw some of the press conference of this new one, this black girl that was trying to stab the other. And one of the journalists was asking the police officer, he was saying, well, can't you train them to shoot people in the arm or the leg? And the police officer is saying, well, look, you're in a situation there where somebody is about to murder somebody else. You have to shoot them in the area that is the biggest target, which is obviously the center of the body. I mean, these journalists have just seen too many movies. They're expecting the police officer to shoot the knife out of the black female's hand. It's just not possible. And you need to protect the person that is being attacked there. And yet we're still seeing this narrative that this was an innocent student and there was no reason for her to die. And she had a whole life ahead of her. She was going to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever. They are trying to turn this into another Black Lives Matter celebrity. And there was another instance as well, I believe, where a black guy was actually shot by a black cop. And they're trying to insinuate that was white supremacy as well. But getting back to the news story here, the medical examiner Diaz did not explain why it took more than 3 months to announce the results of the autopsy, nor have there been any apologies from the media outlets that promoted the narratives about his death in the wake of the revelation. And at least Russia Today are actually asking this, because you would think that they could produce the results of that autopsy straight away, wouldn't you? You would think that would be needed in order for them to bring it up during the impeachment proceedings. It sounds to me like they don't actually need any evidence at all during these impeachment proceedings. They can just refer to whatever was on the news. We really are ruled by media today. I think that this has become more and more obvious, especially during this election. It was the media that decided who had won the election. It's the media who decides whether somebody has been murdered or not. It's the media that decides whether somebody is guilty or not. And it's the media that will put pressure on the jury to decide that somebody is guilty or not in the case of this recent Derek Chauvin trial. Have you got any thoughts, Grandpa, about why it took more than 3 months to announce the results of this autopsy?
Well, it took 3 months because they had to get the narrative established. The amount of people that heard the narrative of this cop being murdered by the violent insurrectionists is, you have this massive number of people that heard that. There's very few, a handful of people are going to hear this correction later. So that's already been set in mind. And I just want to say this, you brought up this notion that somebody pointed out, why can't the police be trained to shoot people in the arm or shoot people these are people that, when they make statements like that, have never fired a gun in their life. Especially a handgun, it is so hard to hit anything with a handgun. I mean, this isn't those Wild West movies where the guy shoots from the hip and shoots the gun out of the guy's hand. That's not reality. It's very hard to hit anything, especially moving target, with a handgun. This notion that you're going to shoot the knife out of the woman's hand is just absurd. And it also is absurd because people don't sit here and think, okay, well, then what happens to the bullet? They pew, shot the knife out of her hand. Well, guess what? The bullet doesn't magically stop right there at her hand where you shot the knife. That bullet would keep traveling and hit whoever or whatever is behind it for probably about at least half a mile, depending on how many objects are between here and there. That is the reality of how these things work. So this absurd idea that you could shoot the knife out of their hand, the bullet would magically stop there at the hand, and nobody would be further harmed. No, that bullet is going to keep traveling. If there's somebody half a mile away and there's no obstructions between here and there, going through the park, pushing their baby through a stroller, that bullet hits that baby, the baby's going to die. That's the way reality works. This is not movies. It's not TV. I'm sorry to get off on that, but whenever I see people come up with this sort of stuff, it's just so utterly absurd. It's so out of the realm of reality of how things even work that I wish they would just shut the hell up, because it's so stupid that they don't have any clue what they're talking about.
Yeah, we also had a 14-year-old Mexican lad. Was he 14? He may have actually just been 12. And he was shot and killed by the police as well this week. And the BBC were reporting that it was an unarmed child. He was only unarmed because he had thrown his pistol away. And as soon as you actually saw the video with the night vision, you could see that the lad had actually been armed a second before he was actually shot. But of course, the mainstream media have portrayed it as this innocent child was killed by the police. And again, I have no doubt that the police authorities will go along with that narrative and just hang the officers out to dry. Commenting on the findings, the Capitol Police issued a statement saying, "This does not change the fact Officer Brian Sicknick died in the line of duty, courageously defending Congress and the Capitol. The attack on our officers, including Brian, was an attack on our democracy," the Capitol Police added. It's as if they haven't seen the autopsy report at all, have they? He didn't die courageously defending Congress in the Capitol. He died the next day. And there wasn't an attack on the officers. There wasn't an attack on Brian. That's what the autopsy report has shown. And yet the Capitol Police are still going along with this narrative that he died whilst courageously defending the Capitol and he was actually attacked. But the autopsy report doesn't say that. And this is the actual response to the autopsy report. It's as if they've got their fingers in their ears and they're just going to go, nah, 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 we're going to ignore what the autopsy report says. It's incredible. You know, we talk about it being clown world here on this podcast. We make jokes about it, but it really is. Everything is back to front and topsy-turvy. Wrong is right. It's an upside-down world that we live in, Grandpa. What are your final thoughts on all of this?
I love how we go through this entire story about the official examiner's report that says that none of that happened. And then they wrap it up with their statement of it doesn't change the fact that it happened. But yes, it does. That's exactly what it does. So it literally changes the fact. It flies in the face of what they say happened. And the fact that they wrap that up with an attack on our democracy. I'm coming to the conclusion that our democracy is a new state religion that is now going to be enforced. Everything can be justified in the name of our new God. Our democracy. It flies. It does not change the fact. No, it does. It literally changed the fact. There was no fact here. That did not happen. That's what the entire report shows, what the entire story shows. And they sit here and says, well, none of that matters. It didn't change anything. But it does. It does change it. But yes, truth is now lies. Lies are now truth. And Brian Sicknick was murdered by evil insurrectionists at the Capitol. It doesn't matter. That is what they say. It comes down to, I suppose, that the truth is whatever they say it is at the moment.
It wasn't an attack on our democracy. It was an attempt to preserve our democracy in the face of multiple uninvestigated allegations of electoral fraud. That's what it was. It was an attempt to preserve democracy. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.